Welcome to XX Science. It's in your genes. Today is Friday, November 1st, 2013. I am Adrian Rorick, chemistry editor, and with me today is Chris Gunter, science ed editor at XX Science. Hi.
Hi, everyone.
So it's the day after Halloween. Chris, how was your Halloween?
It was good. We went trick-or-treating and had fun and got candy, and that's what it's all about. Yeah,
exactly. My kids are a little older. I believe you have a little kid in elementary school, right? But I have a middle schooler and a high schooler. My high schooler was like, I'm trick-or-treating. No, I'm not trick-or-treating. I'm trick-or-treating. No, I'm not trick-or-treating.
Oh, boy.
So last night around, she wore a wig to school. And I said, did you wear that to school? Because I didn't see her in the morning because I leave before they're even up. And she said, yeah. Oh, I'd seen her that was right when I got home. And then at dinner, I saw she'd put eye makeup on. So I said, why'd you put eye makeup on? She goes, because it's creepier that way. And I was like, are you giving out Halloween treats? She goes, no, I'm going trick-or-treating. And I was like,
Mom, duh.
I know. I was like, oh. She's like, oh, my friend and I, we made loose plans to meet at like 6:30. All right.
I don't know about mine growing to that age. I don't know. Yeah, that's gonna.
Ninth grade, so it's like I'm not super fan of them trick or treating at that age. But when she came home, she had like I don't know a handful of candy. So basically, it was she went out with like six of her friends and walked the streets, which is fine because it's Halloween and there's a bajillion people walking the streets. Then it was in a safe area, so I was okay with that.
Oof.
Yeah. And then my middle schooler, I dropped him off to trick-or-treat with some friends, and then I went to pick him up, trick-or-treat with some friends. In the meantime, I got trick-or-treaters. And now the house I'd lived in the past 2 years, we got like one trick-or-treater. So very sad because I love Halloween.
Yeah.
And I got to hand out candy to a bunch of trick-or-treaters, but my husband said that we had tons of trick-or-treaters while I was dropping my son off. I was going to pick him up. I'm like, why? I missed all the trick-or-treaters.
It's like they know.
I know.
We got absolutely zero at our house. Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, at other parts of the neighborhood, it was fine. But on this part, I guess it looks sad or so. I don't know.
Well, my husband said that, see, we're on a corner, but we're kind of up a hill. So trick-or-treaters have to decide they want to walk up the stairs to our house. Which apparently not everyone wanted to do.
Evidently no. Well, I guess you got some. But yeah,
we got some. And that was good. So Halloween is the beginning of flu season, and there's big pushes to get your flu shot, and there's all sorts of why you should get your flu shot, all these myths. So our health editor, Tara Haley, posted 25 myths about the flu vaccine debunked, initially at her website, Red Wine and Applesauce, and then it was posted just a few days ago on XX Science, slightly reformatted. Go read it. It's very in-depth, full posting at either of those sites, which will be in the show notes, or you can go to redwineandapplesauce.com or XXScience.org, and it's right there. But we wanted to give this. Post has been getting so much attention. It even broke Tara's site upon initial posting, so we wanted to give this a lot of attention today.
Yeah, any of us that are interested in science or work in science hear from friends all the time a lot of myths about everything, and this is one of them, which is the flu vaccine. So yeah, I thought this was a great read and was really helpful in terms of giving you information. I mean, she's got more links in here than you'll know what to do with.
Oh, seriously.
But she links to all the data that will help you actually see the data behind, you know, the flu shot does not cause miscarriages. Pregnant women should, in fact, get the flu shot, that kind of thing. So it's really important, particularly in this time, to read and then to pass around. I put it on my Facebook and it got shared right away by a couple people from my Facebook. So yeah.
Yeah, on the Red Wine and Applesauce, like I said, it's formatted slightly different than at XX Science, and I really like that at that particular site, she goes through these 25 myths and says what the myth is and immediately says, you know, it does or doesn't, but basically, depending on how the myth is, she mm-hmm. says the correct thing. And that happens to link to further down into her post. At XX Science basically goes straight into the myths and the explanations. So if you're interested in reading all 25 myths top to bottom, it's very easy to do that at XX Science. If you're like, oh, I just want to know about flu vaccine causing neurological disorders, which is myth number 14, you know, at her site, you could just click and go straight to myth 14 without. I think it'd be good to read all 25 myths. We can take turns like we're in elementary school, Chris.
Excellent. All right. So myth number one is that the flu vaccine gives you the flu or makes you sick, which is not true. Although, I mean, I certainly know people who have not felt well right after they got it. But she does say that it's possible you might feel under the weather or crappy in the week or two after you get the flu shot.
And it does kind of hurt.
Right.
I got my flu shot, early this year, like September?
Yeah.
Mid-September? I just felt like it was very early. But right. They were doing a flu shot clinic at my work. But yeah, my arm hurt for a couple days, which yeah. I'd forgotten yeah. I did that.
Yeah.
Myth number two, flu vaccines contain dangerous ingredients such as mercury, formaldehyde, and antifreeze. So the question, the answer is not exactly, and the ingredients aren't that dangerous. So as a chemist, what I can say about this is that what people do is they look at the chemicals that are actually in there, and then they say, oh, that's mercury, when really it's a mercuric compound, which is not the same at all. Similar chemicals to people who aren't chemists can look very scary, so I can understand that, but it's basically no. they're not the same, and the ingredients are proven not to be dangerous. So.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right, so the third myth is in three parts, that pregnant women should not get the flu shot, which is not true. They definitely should. And Tara points out that she's pregnant herself and got the flu shot. The second part is that the flu shot can cause miscarriages, and that has been shown not to be the case. In fact, it's shown to decrease the risk of having a miscarriage or stillbirth by a big study in the New England Journal. And the third part is that pregnant women should only get a preservative-free flu shot, which is also not true.
Myth number four, flu vaccines can cause Alzheimer's disease, and they can't.
Right, that's been shown by data. And number five, flu vaccines provide billions of dollars in profits for pharmaceutical companies. And her answer is interesting. Maybe, maybe not, but so what? And as she points out, pharma companies are for-profit companies, and they rake in lots of money. And this I find interesting to look at, because so often when people on the internet want to comment and disparage articles like this, this is one of the big insults that they use. Is you're just a shill for big pharma, etc., which Tara is not, a quote-unquote shill for big pharma. And her point is here, that's true. These pharma are for-profit companies that make them, but it's still the vaccine that they're making is helpful to you for all of these reasons.
Right. And part of it is that when people come down with the flu, there is medical costs involved, and
right.
that, you know, costs that are costing money to other things, and actually some of those medical costs, big pharma profits from too. So,
yeah.
So really, you know, and also there's the missed work and whatnot. So, you know,
right.
It's on a cost to you. You have to use up sick days or you don't get paid depending on your type of employment.
Yep.
Okay, myth number six.
Six.
Flu vaccines don't work. Well, they do.
And related to that is number seven, which they don't work for children. Which they do. And the interesting thing for that is my child gets the flu mist because he doesn't want the shot. And she linked us back to a piece that was in Slate, which pointed out the flu mist was more effective for kids aged 2 through 7, which I didn't know. So that's good.
Okay. I can see that. Kids get so many shots that having one less
right.
shot, but still
right.
ability to take the vaccine is very good. Okay, so flu vaccines make it easier. Myth number eight, flu vaccines make it easier for people to catch pneumonia or other infectious diseases. And the whole point of getting the flu vaccine is so that you don't have the weakened and compromised immune system, so therefore you should not be catching these diseases, or you won't be as likely to catch these diseases.
Right.
Not that you can't, but...
It reduces your risk. Similar to myth number nine, which is flu vaccines cause vascular or cardiovascular disorders. And in fact, instead, it's been shown to reduce an individual risk of heart attack or stroke.
You know, some of these I've never heard of. That one was one
right.
of those. I don't
yeah.
even know why people would think that other than to throw something out there. Anyways, myth number 10, flu vaccines can break the blood-brain barrier of young children and hurt their development. And basically, they can't. These don't go through the blood-brain barrier, which is formed in utero and is functional from birth. So The things that can and cannot go into the brain are sort of already going to or not going to, so there's no...
Right. And this is not one of them. Yeah. So, myth number 11, flu vaccines cause narcolepsy. This is, as she says, one of the few myths on her list that is rooted in a small amount of fact, because there was an H1N1 vaccine that was made in Europe in 2009, and it very, very slightly increased the risk for narcolepsy in only under age 21, so 3 to 7 cases for every 100,000 vaccinated children. And as soon as that was figured out, the vaccine was taken off the market. Now, again, that's only one of the many vaccines which have been made every year, and this was only in 2009 and H1N1.
So it was a specific flu vaccine with a very low risk with a very specific population, and it was pulled.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So no, not anymore.
Right.
And not even prior to 2009, it sounds like.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right. Myth number 12, the flu vaccine weakens your immune response, which, as we just discussed, it actually strengthens it. So.
Yeah, that's the point. Yep. So myth 13, the flu vaccine causes nerve disorders such as Guillain-Barré syndrome. If you have signed the consent form, you have probably seen that. I remember that seeing that for myself and my child. And that is, Guillain-Barré syndrome is an autoimmune disorder. And so, again, as she points out, this is like narcolepsy because one vaccine, in this case 1976, led to a slightly, again, a very slightly higher risk. And since then, as she points out, that's probably been the single most studied adverse event, because they now keep very high tabs on that. And now, since then, they've seen that risk has never been seen again.
Okay. Number 14, the flu vaccine can cause neurological disorders. So, no, the vaccine cannot, the actual flu can. So, in fact, people or children with already diagnosed neurological disorders are even more strongly encouraged to get the flu vaccine, because they are at higher risk of worsening those disorders if they get the flu. So, but the vaccine won't exacerbate that at all.
Yeah, that's good to know. All right, myth number 15, influenza isn't that bad, or people recover quickly from it. So if you've ever had actual influenza as opposed to a cold, which many people mistake for the flu, you know that actually influenza is quite bad. I've only had it once in grad school, and yeah, it was awful. I didn't get out of bed for almost a week, basically. So yeah, and in particular, it leads to many complications, which can be life-threatening. So it's not like a common cold. It is very different.
Right. So if you feel better after 3 days, it's not influenza.
Right.
Yeah. Myth number 16, people don't die from the flu unless they have another underlying condition already. So basically healthy people won't, it's related to their organ, won't die from the flu, which is completely untrue. Influenza itself so bad that if you have an underlying health disorder condition, you are, you know, more highly susceptible to some of the side effects, and they'll probably run worse in you. But at the same time, just because you're healthy doesn't mean it won't happen, and because it's just a terrible, terrible disease, and it can wreak havoc, basically.
Right. Myth number 17, people with egg allergies cannot get the flu shot. It will kill them. And again, as I mentioned earlier, if you've seen the consent form, you know that's one of the things you have to check off, that you don't have egg allergies. And so it's interesting that we still have to check that consent, and yet she links to a few studies which say that people with egg allergy are not at any additional risk, even though the vaccine may contain some amount of egg protein. And so she's linked us to the official American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology statement there. But then it's important to know also that there is a flu vaccine which is specifically not made in eggs, called FluBlock. And so if you are allergic to eggs, that's something that you can ask for and make sure that you still get a vaccine.
Yes. Myth number 18, if I get the flu, antibiotics will take care of me. No, they can't. The flu is a virus, and antibiotics take care of bacteria. So you've got two different organisms there, and one works on one, antibiotics work on one and not on the other, and the other happens to be your flu.
Right.
So basically, no.
Yep. And myth number 19, the flu shot doesn't work for me because last time I got it, I got the flu anyway. And so this gets into the concept of herd immunity as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the point is that the flu shot reduces your risk. It doesn't guarantee that you won't catch the flu. Very few vaccines, as we'll talk about later with some of our other posts, are 100% effective. But it certainly reduces your risk. And if you do get it, it will almost certainly lead you to have a milder course of illness. And each year the flu vaccine is manufactured against three specific strains that the CDC predicts will be the most common. And so you may catch a strain of flu that's not covered in the vaccine.
Myth number 20, I never get the flu, so I don't need the shot. And Tara's short response is, you can see the future. Just because it hasn't already happened doesn't mean it won't happen again. You're exposed to likely different people who have different modes of exposure. You don't know if your coworker's child just went to school this year and then brought the flu down home, and then the coworker, now all of a sudden somebody who you've worked with for 5 years who never had a risk and that suddenly has a risk and suddenly you get the flu. You can't tell what the vector is going to be for these, so it's always important to get that.
That's the fun of being human. Yay. And number 21, I can protect myself from the flu by eating right and washing my hands regularly. And her answer is no, you can't. Again, just as you were just saying, Adrian, that's you don't know where things are going to come. And already one of the commenters on the XX Science site has taken Tara to task by saying that she should not be reducing the importance of hand washing. And I don't read this that way at all. She says, although it's important and can reduce your risk, it can't protect you completely from getting the flu.
Myth number 22, it's okay if I get the flu because it will make my immune system stronger. So the first thing is your immune system actually is weakened while you're ill from the flu. And once you've recovered from that strain, obviously you're protected from it. You, first of all, are only protected from the one strain, not the two others that, as Chris already mentioned, will be as part of the vaccine. And then if you've got the flu, you're contagious to others, as I just mentioned in the vector. And so by being vaccinated, you are helping keep herd immunity levels higher in your community. Basically, herd immunity is basically a certain level of the population is vaccinated, which protects the entire population in general, which means that there's less likely chance for the disease to get in. That is how many vaccines work. And unfortunately, in some of the recent lack of vaccination, for instance, I believe it's measles. Measles was pretty much gone. People were not getting measles because of the herd immunity provided by a certain level of people getting, children basically getting the vaccine, especially due to school requirements to go to public school, and even most private schools required that in the States. And there have been so many people opting out of that now we are having measles epidemics because the herd immunity has been lowered to the point that it's no longer protecting those who haven't been or can't be vaccinated. So definitely you want to go ahead and get the flu shot because it will boost your immune system to begin with rather than having to go through a weakened state. It will keep you hopefully immune for multiple flu strains versus just a single one if you were to catch the flu. And actually thinking of that, you could end up with the flu three times or more times during the winter without getting the flu shot. So you really can make yourself very sick or be susceptible to getting very sick. And you are keeping up, especially for those who can't get vaccinated for whatever reasons. There are those who can't get vaccinated, but
right.
Let me, you know, your doctor informs you that you are one of those, but not.
Right.
So.
Well, and I think that also ties into the next one, number 23, which is making a new vaccine each year only makes influenza strains stronger. And presumably that is people are basing that myth on the fact that they think that the virus will have to mutate in order to keep infecting people, but that's not necessarily true. selection, you know, that's anthropomorphizing a virus, right? And in fact, as you were just getting at, also with herd immunity, one of the advantages is that every time a virus goes through a host, it has the ability to mutate because of all the replication that happens. And so every host who cannot be a host for that virus is reduces the amount of mutation that can happen and the amount of new variations of flu virus that can take off. And so she has a quote from a researcher here explaining that. And that's a concept called antigenic drift, which is that mutations lead either in response to selection or random mutations lead to changes in antigens, which allow the flu virus to infect in different ways. But the point is that actually getting the vaccine reduces that chance.
Myth 24, the side effects of the flu shot are worse than the flu. And there are a whole list of side effects. As I said, I had an aching arm. You might, like you said, Chris, earlier at the outset, mm-hmm. feel a little worse, aches, pains, mm-hmm. headache, maybe a little bit of like hoarseness or red itchy eyes, maybe cough, sore throat, that sort of thing. And young children do have a risk of fever, high fevers and stuff, but basically the most serious risk is an allergic reaction, which is approximately 1 out of every 1 million, and that Guillain-Barré syndrome is not very common, but and getting that particular side effect, the Guillain-Barré, is more common from the flu. And in addition, a side effect of the flu is death, which is not a side effect of the So I'm going to go the side effects of the flu shot aren't worse than when on the side effects of the flu.
Wow. And so, yeah, that's a bad side effect, usually speaking. And so the last one, the myth number 25, the flu vaccine causes Bell's palsy. That is similar to the ones that we covered earlier, and Tara writes that someone told her about this as she was writing this article, so she looked into it. And that seems to be, a study has looked specifically at that in children and found no increased risk. And as she points out, correlation and causation are not the same thing. And it is difficult to see things that maybe someone developed Bell's palsy at the same time, and it looks like it might be a cause, but that's why you have to investigate large numbers of people and see that it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yep, so this is a great post, and Tara mentioned that she will probably repost it every year about this time, just because these myths come up yearly, because yearly you have to get this vaccine. It's not a once every so often vaccine. It's not a childhood vaccine per se. It's something everyone should get all the time, although I think a lot of adults have forgotten they should get other vaccines. And that actually leads into some of our other posts that we've had in the past little bit. So
we've had a vaccine-a-palooza.
Yeah, vaccine-a-palooza. So let's go on and talk about our vaccine-a-palooza and other topics that we've had at Double X Science recently.